Lord willing, next week, if the Lord tarries, if the trumpet doesn't sound, and if it does, glory to God, there'll be better preaching there. But I'll leave my Bible here for folks if they, you know. If the trumpet doesn't sound, Lord willing, we're going to complete the last two messages I've prepared out of the book of Judges. I'm thrilled about that. I think they're very, let me use the word meaty. They're not milky. Now, we need milk. We need the meat of the word. And so we'll get some of that, Lord willing, next week. This morning, I'm going to preach a message where I almost feel like a cheerleader. Now, I've never been into those man cheerleaders, things like that. So I want to call it more of a coach type, rally the troops. The particular sermon I'm going to preach, it's not my, the idea I got from Jack Hiles. Matter of fact, I've got a lot of ideas from Jack Hiles. And this particular message is a message that he had used this topic, and I just loved it. There's no way I'll preach it like him. I don't have that ability. But the truth behind it just ministers to my soul. So this could only be a 20-minute message. So, if you were here for a 30, 35-minute, we'll give you a little bit of your money back. But if you paid for a 35-minute, we might end up early. Now, if we go long, then you owe me. Well, that works. All right, if you're able to stand, let's stand. We're going to read. Let's begin at Luke 22, verse 47. Testing. Luke 22, verse 47. Well, I reckon we're about 50% capacity. So, yep, it's a blessing. Because we can squeeze a whole lot more people in here. Easy. So what we're going to read is the night that the Lord Jesus is taken. He's betrayed by Judas, and he's taken by the soldiers and brought into the high priest Caiaphas and Ananias there, and he's going to be brutally treated. This innocent man, the Lamb of God, is going to be spit on, buffeted. They will pull his beard out. They will put a hood over his head and punch him and say, "Who did it?" The ultimate of ridicule, of mockery, of humility to the greatest man that ever walked on this earth. He will experience the extreme of shame and pain for all of us. So that the vilest sinner can be clean. He will taste the dregs of hell so that we don't have to. He will die as though he's committed every wicked deed, as he's thought every wicked thought that you and I have. Yet he hasn't, but he will die as though he did. The Word of God says that he became sin for us. Our finite minds have a difficult time grasping that, but may the Holy Spirit help us understand the depths of love that would stoop so low to reach us sinners. This is the evening where he is betrayed. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? I got a feeling that they was Peter. And one of them, not waiting for permission, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and slapped it back on his head. And he healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? See, it's nighttime. It's nighttime. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Father, bless this message. Help me to speak. Help your people. Help us to hear from you. Bridle my tongue. May I be led by your Holy Spirit. May you be glorified and our faith be strengthened. May hope be revived where there is despair. Where light shine where there is darkness. May we be able to walk out of here with a better outlook because we took an uplook. Help me, Lord. Help your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I've heard it said that Judas kissed the door of heaven but went to hell. It is amazing how close a man can get and still not be saved. That close. Since I'm on it, sharing the gospel with a young man the other day, Gary and I were out talking to people about the Lord, and I just made mention of the fact that, one, God's Word says eternal life is a gift. It's a gift, hallelujah, it's a gift that's been completely purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. This gift is the person of Christ. And when we receive the person, we receive eternal life, but it must be received. That's so important. And in stressing this point, I told this young man, I said, you know, Amazon, you ever got an Amazon package? Many of us have got an Amazon package. They just leave it at the door, don't they? That's all right. I just assume them leave it. And so they leave it at the door. But you know what's bad is if you don't show up for 4 or 5 days, and then you don't even know it's there, and it sits out there. We don't even use our front door hardly, so it sits out there for maybe weeks. It's ours. It's free. It's to benefit us. But it doesn't help us at all until we receive it. And I wonder how many people, even in this room, let alone who might be watching, you haven't received Jesus into your heart. You've not received that gift. The gift is there at the door, but it's sitting. God has done what needs to be done. Salvation is a finished work. But you got to receive it to benefit from it. Well, that really wasn't part of the message, but I believe that's quite important. You don't get past being saved. Nothing else I have to say really matters a whole lot. Now, I want to zero in on this passage of Scripture in verse 53. The Lord Jesus, if you can visualize, it's dark. Maybe there's some stars still shining. Maybe it's a little cloudy. But it's dark out. Soldiers come with torches. The flicker of fire reveals faces. The disciples have been with Jesus. Jesus knows what's coming. Judas thinks he's sneaky, and he comes over and he kisses Jesus on the cheek as a sign that this is the one. Peter decides to take things in his own hands, and he grabs a sword and cuts, the man's name is Malchus, cuts his ear off, Malchus's ear off, and the Lord puts it gracefully back on. I wonder if Malchus ended up getting saved. And so, the men stand there in awe. If we were to read the account in John, Jesus says to the gathering of soldiers and elders, "Whom seek ye?" And the men say, "Jesus." And Jesus said, "Well, I am he." And when he says that in the account in John, they all fall down. What an astonishing picture. But here in the Gospel of Luke, we find the Lord Jesus says this, and this is where I need to zero in on. "When I was daily with you in the temple, he stretched forth no hand against me." Now this is what's significant. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. So what the Lord is saying there is, his course up to this point in his life was completely led by the Father, protected. By the way, the safest place you'll ever be is in the will of God. Amen. Whether you're a missionary to the underground church in China or North Korea, the safest place you'll ever be is in the will of God. And yet, there is a reality in life, even in the Christian life, there is this reality that seasons occur where it seems that darkness rules. It seems as though no matter how close you get to God, no matter how often you come to church, no matter how much you reach up and pray, it seems as though darkness is having its way. Allow me, if you will, to read some things here that will help get us programmed to a practical message. The Lord Jesus says, "This is your hour," meaning it's your time. You have control, meaning that their control was not permanent. It's your hour. It's seasonal. It will end. They might be able to take Jesus now, but Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. That's the title of the sermon. They might be able to pull his beard out now, but Sunday is coming. They might be able to lie about him now, but Sunday is coming. They might be able to scourge him and shame him and mock him now, but Sunday is coming. They might be able to slander him now, but Sunday's coming. They might be able to mock him and crucify him now, but Sunday's coming. They might be able to silence his voice now, but Sunday is coming. They might be able to quench his light now, but Sunday is coming. What is Sunday? Sunday's the first day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday was Resurrection Day. Sunday is a validation day. Sunday is the day that Jesus put the exclamation point on who he is. Amen. Salvation was done on the cross, but it was validated through that demonstration of the resurrection. When Jesus said it is finished, salvation, the price was paid in full. But glory to God, we serve a risen Savior. So Sunday was a day of hope. Can you see Sunday as Jesus shows up and encourages the disciples, renews their faith, and even Thomas, doubting Thomas, gets his faith back again? My Lord and my God. Sunday is validation day. Sunday is faith strengthening day. Sunday is the day that the light rises again. Sunday is the sun rising. So, what is this mean? Well, it's the day when Jesus made himself known to his apostles. It's the day he made himself known to those who love him. Sunday's the day of new beginnings, a new chapter. We meet on Sunday because our Savior rose on Sunday. Though our Lord is taken captive some 3.5 days prior, he was looking forward to Sunday. Though he would carry an old rugged cross to Calvary and stumble and fall under the weight of the cross, and after the loss of blood, because of the loss of blood, he knew Sunday was coming. Though all of hell seemed to be rejoicing, seemed to be ruling the world, Sunday was coming. Let's consider some things. Let's talk to ourselves as Americans, Christians. Let's talk to ourselves in regards to the cultural confusion we're under. You see, things are kind of messy right now in our culture. Things are pretty weird, strange. Laws are being promoted and pushed that they don't even make sense to the mind. And yet they want you to believe the hypocrisy. They want us to believe that there's another gender beside male and female. They really want us to believe that enough to where they'll change high school policies and let boys who think they're girls run in girls' track team. And let boys who think they're girls go into the girls' locker rooms. Hey, listen, whether you are with me or not, that's nonsense. And here's what I have to say to that crowd. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. I don't care how many of them out there are pushing that nonsense. Sunday's coming. The hypocrisy of many of our laws. Now listen, I know the stimulation check probably stimulated you tremendously, and I don't begrudge you that, but I've got a concern that we're going to be paying that back some way tenfold. But Sunday's coming. This militant promotion of homosexuality at school, on TV. Yes, yes, there's still a Bible-preaching church that talks about that and says it's sin. It's an abomination. And it doesn't matter if the whole country votes and says it's okay, it's approved, it's all right, green light. And if you say anything against it, you are going to jail. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. You say, are you mad at them? No, I'm not. I'm mad at the foolish laws that try to say it's legal and it's justified and it's normal behavior. It's not. Just like fornication is not normal, and just like adultery is not normal, just like drunkenness is not normal, neither is homosexuality normal. Oh, you said I come to get an Easter service. Well, I'm giving you one, glory to God. Sunday's coming. I'm sick of the militant promotion of that. You turn the TV on, there's always a character. There they are again. They didn't even need that, but it's on there. Everywhere you go. They want me to feel weird about it. Feel weird about feeling weird about that. It strikes me strange watching two men kiss each other. And I know it does you too. Let alone watching two women who... That's just nasty. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Well, preacher, you're not going to win a crowd. That's all right. Sunday's coming. This censoring of the righteous voice in America. This shutdown of different men and women who have a conservative voice, a Christian voice. This quieting, a removal from different mediums of media. Hey, wait a minute. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. This promotion of communism and socialism in America. If they like it so much, move to Venezuela or North Korea. Sunday's coming. This removal of the Ten Commandments from the courthouse lawns, let alone all of our other monuments that mean something to the history of our country. Does it bother us anymore? It should. Shouldn't lose your joy, but here's the blessing. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. This acceptance of all forms of paganism, yet it's okay to belittle and mock Christ and Christianity. That bothers me. But Sunday's coming. It's coming. And so I've said my political piece. I'll move on. Let's talk about your personal suffering. Let's talk about those of you who have aches and pains. You have to take prescription medicine every day just to get up out of bed or just to be normal throughout the day. Let's talk to you who struggle sleeping because of the aches and the pains in your body. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. You see, when that trumpet sounds, those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And that mortal will put on immortality, and that corruptible will put on incorruption. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's coming. By the way, we sure will appreciate it when it gets here. The more you suffer on this side, the more you appreciate it on the other. But I know there are people even in this church, you got to deal with pain just to sit in church, whether it's your back or your neck or your shoulder. And yet you're here because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love the Word of God. And our hope is that Sunday's coming again. That trumpet's going to sound. Oh, what about you that have lost a loved one? We think of Carl. Sunday's coming. You'll see him again. Think of Don Bowen. Sunday's coming. You'll see him again. Think of Karen Harum. Sunday's coming. He'll see her again. You think of all the dear people that have gone on to glory. Think of Loretta. Brother Otis, Sunday's coming. It's coming. We'll see him again. We've got a whole list of people that were members of our church that are in glory now. They're in the heavenly bandstand, and we got to live on this side. And some of you that you've got this hole in you because they were with you so long. Brother John, your dear wife. But Sunday's coming. They're happy. It's tough for us, but Sunday's coming. So, let's see, August 22nd, 2005. My wife and I were going to celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary. We're going to Niagara Falls. We had just checked into our room, and we got a phone call. No, we just got our rental car. We were getting ready to check into our room, and we got a phone call from Beth. Found out there was a serious car accident. We had three of our young people at that time that were in a serious car accident on Interstate 65 coming back from Indianapolis. And so God wasn't complete with Beth, and she's with us, and we have Brian with us. Wonderful Brian is here. God in his grace, he knows what's going on. But Corey and Grant, Corey Hipple and Grant Davis, were very active in our church. They were about 19 and 21. Corey was going to Bible college. Grant was very involved in our bus ministry. And just a couple weeks before that, they brought in 60 kids on the bus route. I mean, it was like those guys didn't know better. They were just fired up about Jesus. They were just excited about they were young people, excited about the things of God. Is that normal? Is that all right? Well, sure. And we loved it. And we loved them, and they were here for everything, whether it was, pitch-in, they loved that. But clean up and everything. Well, anyways, I get this phone call, and the boys died in this car accident. So we fly back, and it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching, because I got two different families we're working with, and they're going to do the funeral in this sanctuary. And as a matter of fact, back then, we didn't have this part of the building. Back then, this is the end of the sanctuary. So, Rebecca, I'd have been preaching where you're sitting there. So you talk about social distancing. We were breaking every law. We all smelled alike when all was said and done. I'll just tell you that. But it was tight quarters. And but the parents wanted to have the funeral in the church here. And I am tired because we went out there and flew back. We just caught a red eye back to Indianapolis and meet with the family, and just emotionally taxing. And I'm praying about, what do I say to these grieving parents and family members? And so the night before the funeral, the caskets are in here, and I was in here. I was just praying. I was the only one in here, with the exception of the two bodies. And I'm just praying, Lord, what do I share with your people? I'm speechless. I don't know how to comfort them. I was a little younger, and I remember walking outside. The sun was just going down. It was starting to get dark. And Grant's truck was out there. Grant, 6'6", and he was in this little, was it a Ford Ranger? Just a little bitty. And he just kind of crammed himself in there, and I just remember that's what he drove. And everybody knew Grant's truck from this church. And I'm out there, and his truck was still here in the parking lot. I'm just reminiscing over it, looking at it. And lo and behold, there was a flyer. It was a neon yellow flyer on his windshield. I looked at that flyer. You gotta be with me, because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to comfort the family. I'm speechless. And I look at that flyer. He had a bus flyer on there. Those flyers they hand out every Saturday to get the kids to come. And in big, bold letters on that neon yellow, it said, "We'll see you on Sunday." Amen. I said, "That's it." I grabbed that thing. I said, "That's it. That's the hope we need. That's the comfort we need. That's what'll lift a heavy heart. That's what'll help you keep pressing on when you feel like darkness is ruling. We'll see you on Sunday. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming." To the believer, I'm telling you, it's a day of hope, day of validation. To the unbeliever, oh, it's a day of reckoning. It's a day when there's going to be some exposing done. There's nothing hidden, nothing secret that will not be made manifest. But glory to God. That's what was on my heart, just preparing for all of this. It's simple. But I'm telling you, when you go through the valley, it sure will be helpful to remind yourself, Sunday's coming. Amen. If I can have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I sure love you, and I thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us. Help us be sensitive to your leadership. And Lord, there's so many things we have no control over, but we sure can rest in hope. You had the power to rise from the grave. Oh, you got the power to see us through the most difficult situations. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and nobody looking around, let me ask this question. Maybe this morning you'd say, "Preacher, I don't even know that I'll go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I am not certain I'll go to heaven. I'm just not certain. I'd like to know, but I don't." Friend, if that's you, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. Is anyone here to say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'd like to know. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand high so I can see it? Is there anyone here like that? Say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Real quickly, as I look around, is there anyone like that? I want to encourage you. You do as the Lord leads. Maybe there's some folks here who would say, "Preacher, I live with a heavy heart. I live with a heavy heart, but by God's grace, I want to be faithful to Jesus. And I just ask for prayer." If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that as I look around? Father, bless those that have raised their hands. Encourage and strengthen them. Minister to us this morning as we have our invitation song. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.